Another question that we got quite a bit of was, my dog pees when he's happy. What can we do about that?
You know, part of it is, yes, there's a lot of one of the times that dogs can tend to pee is they get excited when they see their owners come home. The dog will jump on them and pee all at the same time. And it has to do with being excited, and it has a lot to do with not having a better outlet for it. And one of the things that we have always done when we run into situations like that is, once you realize that coming home and greeting your dog is going to cause him to pee, you just, A, prevent him from jumping on you, find a way to greet your dog in a place where it's okay to pee, or actually cue him to go pee in another location. And so what I've seen often happen is, the dog will see you come home, and you might immediately, before you greet the dog, is go out to the backyard, or go out to the side yard, or even go out to your front yard, someplace where it's okay for the dog to pee, and allow him to pee in a place that is appropriate, and not allow him to pee on you, or to pee in the house, or to pee in those situations where they get so excited that they relieve themselves that way. And we often can put that on cue, where, you know, you say, oh, you're really happy right now, go do this, and they run over and they pee, and then you go over and congratulate them and let them know they've done good, and then you can go on with your day and interact with them, because they were so excited to see you that they couldn't keep themselves from peeing. But it's finding that alternative behavior and teaching them what you want to see instead. You just want to replace the unwanted behavior with something that is acceptable to you, and direct them toward that desired response.
We had a
little training.
Yeah, we used to have a golden retriever that would come in, and we weren't allowed to make eye contact with her, because that's what would get her so excited. Just loved everybody, loved attention. And the owner kind of put two and two together. So she would just say, you know, when I get home, I can't look at my dog. Like, I have to almost avoid her. I have to walk into the backyard, make an effort for her to go to the bathroom. And then as soon as she goes to the bathroom, it's the, oh my gosh, I'm home, I'm so happy to see you. But she would come in, and we'd be like trying to pull blood and trying to treat her. And the owner was like, if you look her in the eye, she's going to pee everywhere. So we would be like, you know, trying to avoid her and hide.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a perfect example. Just what is it, what would be acceptable to you? And that would be going outside and peeing first. And so allow the dog to do that, especially if you've just come home. It's a combination of being excited to see you and the fact that they've been inside for the last how many other number of hours. And they just, that excitement causes them not to be able to hold it anymore. But if you can get into that routine where you come in and go, hey, pup, but you don't look at them. You say, let's run outside. And they're excited because you're there. They follow you. You go outside. You let them pee. And then you have a little party. They learn to pee outside. And they still get to greet you and tell you that they're happy to see you.
Yeah, this one kind of goes along with, you know, potty training stuff. But how do you recommend potty training a new puppy? Do you have any tips, tricks, anything that you see be more successful?
One of the things that is really helpful, there's a couple of things. And one of those is being able to be really observant of your puppy. But oftentimes when your puppy is alone, it's best if you can keep them in a crate or in a contained environment, a place that has tile. Don't keep them in a room with carpeting. Put them in the laundry room or in a crate. Sometimes people will say that puppies are clean and they don't want to pee on themselves, which is to a certain extent is true. But part of keeping them in a crate or in a small room with tile is just so that it's easier to clean up. And secondly, when you are with your puppy, recognize that there are usually times that the puppy needs to relieve themselves. So you can usually predict pretty accurately that a certain number of minutes, it's different with every dog, but 30 minutes after eating or 30 minutes after drinking water, they're likely going to need to pee. So you watch for that. You pay attention to signs that they're looking for a place to go, at which point you go, hey, pup, let's go outside. And you take them outside and get them into the habit of, when they feel that urge, they almost always show some sign. They start sniffing of a place to go relieve themselves. They don't know that they're not supposed to pee behind the couch or
right.
over in that corner. So you see them starting to search. You know that they ate just a certain amount of time ago. You pay close attention to them and catch them in the act of looking. Don't be upset with them. Say, oh, what a good boy. Let's go outside. And you take them outside and let them relieve themselves. Let them know that that pleases you, that you're happy about that. You bring them back inside or let them stay outside for a little while to let them know that they did well. And you will begin to predict that they're going to pee, and that you begin to increase the amount of times, the amount of time between when you take them outside, and they will learn to hold it. But a part of it is predicting when it's likely to happen, and two, paying close attention to them so that you can see when they're looking for a place to relieve themselves, so that you can take them outside and capture that, get that going, and let them know that you're really pleased with them for doing that.
How do you feel about that old kind of wives' tale where, again, it's like these older generations where you take the dog, you rub their nose in it, and then you put them outside. And I'm like, oh, you're just shaming them. Now yeah. they don't.
Yeah.
And you don't know if you're not catching them in the act too, who knows if they're even associating it with,
right.
with what you're yelling at.
They don't recognize. All they know is you're, for whatever reason, you're pushing their nose into this poop or this pee.
Yeah.
And that they're going to learn. But what they learn is when mom comes into the room, she likes to push my nose into pee into poop. What that teaches the dog to do, they don't learn not to pee and poop. What they learn is to hide where they pee and poop, because they don't get in trouble when it's hidden. At least
right. if it's under the bed, you don't see it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
see it. And so that's the biggest mistake where people will take and push their dog's nose into something, and they will often say, he knows better. What he knows is that that's probably happened before. So he's that look of, like, people will say, my dog looks guilty. He knows he did something wrong. Well, he knows that when the poop is there and you push you're likely to push his nose into it. He doesn't understand that pooping in that location is wrong. He just understands that being in the same room with you when the poop is there gets this terrible thing to happen. And so you'll see that guilty look
yeah.
on his face, but it really is not about the fact that he knew he shouldn't have pooped there. He needed to poop, and that was the easiest place for him to poop. The best thing is to really catch him at it and catch him before he does it and move him outside. And, yeah. and even if you just happen to see, if it's a male dog and he lifts his leg, or a dog that's crouching and you can see it's about to happen, I would immediately pick up the dog and run him outside, even
yeah.
if he's peeing along the way, and then praise him and give him make a big party out of the fact that he went outside and did his business. And the dog will quickly learn that this is where you want me to pee. This is where you want me to poop. But a part of it is constricting his access to the whole house during those early days of puppyhood, so that you learn that you can have the time to teach the dog what is expected of him and where you would like him to pee or to poop.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We got a lot on walking and people just not enjoying walks with their dogs because their dogs are pulling too hard. The owners are feeling that they're leash aggressive. Do you have any tips or tricks for leash training?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And the two problems that you suggest there are sort of different problems. One is
yeah.
the dog that's pulling ahead, just wanting to keep pulling on the leash, and the dog that is leash aggressive. For me, I always like to play a game. I always like to think of going for a walk on lead is a game. And you're going to learn that if you stay close to my leg, if you stay close to my knee, I will reinforce you. And one of the ways I like to reinforce them is dogs love to use their nose. And so you can start the training by, every time the dog checks in with you, looks at you, or comes right next to you, you can give them a treat. But I have found, and I'll start that way just so that the dog really learns that it's something that they want. But when dogs are on walks, the world is around them, and they're smelling all these great smells, and they usually love to use their nose. And there's this tendency that when we're on walks and the dog pulls off to the side, that we want to pull them back so that we can keep walking. But for the dog, it's enjoying the smells that are around them. And so I always encourage trainers, dog owners, to use those smells as reinforcers. You dog checks in with you and you say, good boy, let's go sniff that bush over there. And then you wait for them and relax a little bit. My question is, are you in a hurry to get somewhere, or are you really just going for a walk to give him exercise and your end point is going to be back home? Which is usually what people are doing, is their walk. And so if you've allotted 30 minutes for your walk, then don't think you have to get 10 blocks in and down and 10 blocks back. Just say the whole point of walking is to get the dog outside, let him get a chance to relieve himself, and let him smell of the things that are safe to smell. So clearly, if someone has spilled a milkshake, or their French fries are on the street, something that I see a lot in a city, I don't see it as much out in a suburb, but that there's something you don't want them to smell of, you keep your leash short and you walk right by it, and then you allow the leash to go out a little bit again and let them explore the rest of the world. But for me, part of me is check in with me, and then I'll let you go. I'll move closer to what you want to smell. Move close to me and stay near me, and I'll move over and let you smell the things that you want to smell. And begin to put those things on cue, like let's go means we're going to walk, and right, go right. Sniff means I'm going to stick around and let you sniff of things. And you can start using go sniff as a way of saying, good boy, you just did what I wanted you to do, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to sniff. And for me, it's usually check in with me, come closer to me, move right next to me. And that gets you end up with a dog that doesn't pull, because they know you're going to let them go sniff of those things when it's appropriate. And so for me, that's the way I deal with that. And when it comes to leash reactivity or leash aggression, a lot of times, and this is a separate issue, but for a lot of people, what ends up happening is that leash aggression or that reactivity is caused by their desire to either want to go play with, interact with other dogs or other people. You don't tend to see leash reactivity as much when there's nothing around. It can happen, but it's the dog is wanting to the opportunity to move further, to go see something. And for a big part of that's where I start thinking a good training program of getting a dog comfortable being around other dogs or being around other people becomes important. And there are a lot of strategies you can use to make dogs comfortable being on a leash. And I think the mistake that often happens is, in our world, we are so used to people seeing dogs walked on a leash, we just assume that's natural. We'll just clip a leash, put it on the dog, and we go out for a walk.
Right.
But we fail to ever teach the dog what this thing is that's coming off of their neck or off of their halter.
The manners that are expected with it as well, right?
It scares them. They don't understand it. They don't know the rules. In our head, all dogs know the rules, but they don't. They haven't taught them. And it's up to us to teach them those things and make being on a lead a fun and comfortable thing. That's why you'll see people it's the same thing with kennels. There are some people whose dogs love being in the kennel. They go into the kennel all the time. And you would not think that a kennel was a bad place at all because the dogs love it. But there are others whose dogs hate the kennel, that they have to force them into the kennel. And it was often because they were put into a kennel by necessity without being taught that the kennel was fun. And so I always feel that when a dog has what we believe to be an irrational fear of the leash, an irrational fear of the kennel, it's not irrational from their perspective.
Right.
They don't know what it is. We have the advantage of knowing why we bought a leash and why we bought a kennel. The dogs don't have that insight. They don't know what it is. And if they've never experienced one before, It's scary. And
Yeah.
so we need to teach them and expose them to those things gradually. And so I always, it's a different situation if you're adopting a dog into a downtown city apartment. Very different if you're living in a suburb where you have a yard that's yours that you can walk them in and maybe teach them about the leash. And I think
Yeah.
that's what's important is we often don't spend the time teaching the dogs about the leash.
We used to recommend sniff walks for our patients post-op because I think what people don't realize either with, the dog sniffing and is that they're actually burning mental energy with that, right? They're actually letting some steam off with that. So when they're recovering from a big surgery, one of the first things we say is outside on a leash only, no running, no jumping, no access to stairs. And you're like, how am I going to burn energy in this puppy that just got spayed? And take them out for a sniff walk, keep them on a short leash, and just let them sniff. And they may not be as physically tired, but mentally they are stimulated and they are a little less anxious and more calm. But I forget the statistic, but it's like a 10-minute, I think, sniff walk is equal to like a 30-minute walk mentally or something. I don't remember the exact numbers, but.
It does. Sniffing really activates those centers in the brain that are very, very mentally satisfying, and they occupy the brain and in a very good way. And so that's always good. And that's why I suggest all walks should be sniff walks, at least to some extent. Now, if you're living and working in a place where you take your dog with you to go places and you have to get there on time, then I always suggest that maybe you should teach the dog a cue that lets the dog know that this is not a sniff walk, that
This is
today
a
we are
working walk.
this is a fast-paced walk and I need you to keep up with me. And oftentimes that requires really reinforcing the dog for staying with you, and you move at that clip that you need to move at, and the dog learn, and you keep the leash short so that they don't have the ability to wander too far, and you can teach them that we're going to go on a working walk and it's not going to be a sniffing walk.
Yeah, I think something that's really been interesting to me is my other dogs, I'd always kind of trained at home. We didn't really have any issues. They were easy dogs to train, easier dogs to train than what I have now. And this is the first time I've really fully immersed myself into obedience and training, and she's an agility. And what always amazes me is how smart she is and how many different cues she knows, especially with agility. I mean, she's learning to go to the backside of a jump and then turn right with one cue and go to the backside of a jump and turn left and then look at me with another cue. And it's every time I think, gosh, how many more cues can this little Frenchie brain take? She's there. I mean, she's right on it. So I think what's so important about what you're saying is come up with these cues, right? Like you said, hey, girl, today we're going to hustle. This isn't a sniff walk. Eventually, with repetition, I think they really pick up on a lot of your physical cues, your verbal cues, your body. What your body's doing. So I think for people who doubt how much their dog can learn, I have a smart Frenchie, if
Yeah.
that says anything
Well,
right.
I was, it's interesting you said that. I was just about to say that when people see a dog that's able to do all of those things, they will say things like, "Wow, you've got such a smart dog," or "Is it the breed? Should I get me a Frenchie?"
No, the answer is always no if someone
And
wants a
the answer is,
Frenchie.
yeah, you'd like to be able to say, "Yeah, my dog's really smart." What I think people don't recognize is that most dogs have that capability. It's just that most people don't take the time to teach them a lot of things, but dogs are quite capable of doing some really amazing things. And so I think that's the challenge, is people just don't realize that they could teach their dog to be that good. Dogs are smart. We
Yeah.
just often don't give them credit for being as smart as they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Gosh, we have so many questions and they're all relatively similar, so I want to see if we can
Sure.
find a few that are a little different here. I really like that you guys, really focus on the positive reinforcement because that's something that has really helped me with my girl. But how do people teach their dog to leave things alone, like food on the ground or dangerous items? This kind of goes back to that rattlesnake issue
Right.
that we were talking about. Is it just as simple as coming up with a cue and positive reinforcement?
Yeah,
Or not as simple, but.
it is more simple than people realize. When a dog sees something that interests them, it's because they get reinforcement from it. They go because they want to eat it, sniff it, play with it, interact with it in some way. And so rather than teach them, don't do that, teach them what you would like them to do instead. And so I always try to find an alternative behavior that will get them what they're looking for. In other words, if you will, I usually tend to have them touch my hand. I'll put my hand out, they'll come and touch my hand. And if they were going towards something because it was something they wanted to eat, I'll give them a treat. They were going to something because they wanted to play with it, I'll let them play with a toy that I have. I will always try to find a way to give them something to do instead. And I think people don't know how to think that way. They're just knowing, well, I want my dog not to do that.
Right.
But it's hard to teach a dog just not to do anything. Give them something that is acceptable. And so for me, what I often do is when, I'll start by putting something that smells really good into a fairly sealed container so the dog smells it. And I will immediately say target, which is what I mean is I want them to touch my hand. I'll put my hand out thing in the bowl, but they can't get to the bowl. So they touch my hand. I'll tell them, good boy. And then because it's an item that I know that they can eat, I put it in the bowl. I may open the bowl and then let them have it. And what happens is they're going, oh, the way I get what I want is do what my dad wanted me to do. So I'm going to touch
Yeah.
his hand. Now I don't do that every time because sometimes they're going to come across things that you don't want them to have. But in the early stages, I teach them that behavior. And so often now, whenever my dog sees something unusual, he'll come over and look at me. And then I go, oh, you want to touch my hand
Yeah.
because you saw something that was interesting to you. But what you've done is you've taught a dog who looks to you to ask for permission to go
Yeah.
after something that looks. And of course, because I've lived in a big city, I lived in Chicago, I've lived in New York City, part of it is keeping them on a short enough leash so that if they don't think to look to you for a permission, they're not able to get to it because you have a shorter leash.
Right.
That then teaches them to look back at you. You ask for a behavior, and then you let them go explore if it's okay. And so a big part of leaving it, the way I teach a leave it is simply to leave it means touch my hand, or leave it means touch my knee, or leave it means sit. Whatever I want it to mean, I
Right.
can decide what's going to be acceptable for me. And so when I say leave it, if the dog sits or touches my hand, then I reinforce them with something else. And the dog has learned, when I see something that's interesting, if my dad says leave it, I'm going to touch his hand or I'm going to sit, and I will still get something good for doing that. But he now knows an alternative behavior that allows me to reinforce that behavior instead of the unwanted behavior. And when people see my dogs walking in the street, they'll always say, my goodness, that dog is so well behaved. Wow, that dog checks in with you before he does anything. Yes, because I taught him that. I taught him
Yeah.
this is what is acceptable for me, and you get lots of great things for checking in with me and doing what I ask. And sometimes I will let him have what he wants as long as it's something that's safe and isn't going to cause him any harm.
Yeah, for us, leave it in our house is stop whatever you're doing and look at me.
Right.
Like focus, you need to pay attention right now. And now it's funny. Now we'll be on walks and I'll see her stop and look at me and then she runs over to grab a treat and I have no idea what we just avoided. So maybe she's tricking me as part of it too, but whatever, she's very proud of herself and she's very
Absolutely.
aware that I left something alone. You didn't even have to tell me, but now you better bust out that string cheese
Right.
because I worked for that.
And it's an important thing because it's exactly what I had in mind. And for you, the fact that she turns around and checks in with you or gives you eye contact, that's the behavior that you have taught your dog is
Yes.
acceptable. And it's this magic thing that appears to be magic when people see it work and they're surprised, but it's just that you've given your dog a set of rules and says, look, when you see something really interesting to you, if I say leave it or if I say whatever, you look at me or you touch me or you come to me and I will reinforce you for that. And sometimes I'll let you go do it. But they become this really well-behaved dog and they're The only difference is they just know now what they're supposed to do in that situation because you've taught it to them.
Yeah, I live in a really
valuable for them because you've reinforced it.
Yeah.